Got it? All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Looking for something different this morning. If you'll turn with me, we'll get this. Get our scripture first. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the word. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, and let's pick up at verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down into the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." You may be seated. The word of the Lord, again in verse number 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying..." The title of my message this morning would be, When Broken Vessels Sing. When Broken Vessels Sing. And I guess a subtitle would be, "When Do I Get to Be What I Want to Be?" And with the Lord's help, I'd desire your prayers this morning. If we can, I tell you, let's just take a moment and let's ask the Lord to fill our ears with the word of what we need to hear. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you. We praise you, we honor you, and we exalt you. Father, animate me this morning. Let me only say what you would have us to say. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may speak into the ears of your children, that they would arise, Father. And Lord, that they can see hope in the hopeless times, that they could see the goodness in the good times. And Father God, that you would be with them to deliver them and carry them and to remove them into the things that you desire. Father, we feel a kind of different anointing this morning, and we ask you through the Holy Spirit, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit dwell in this vessel as we stand before your people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I begin to look at the potter, and of course, we know the most important thing and the thing that makes the potter is the clay. And as I did a little background study, I found out that there was two kinds of clay over in the area. There was what they called the clean clay, which didn't have a lot of obstructions in it. Bless you. And didn't have a lot of impurities in it. And then it was what they called, it was most commonly found, was the rich clay, which had a lot of iron oxides and different, I can give you the chemical names, but that's unimportant. The fact is that it wasn't pure enough that the potter could use it for anything. Because every time the potter would try to make something of it, it would break and fall all to pieces. Now, one thing I want you to remember and bear in your mind in verse number 4, it says, and for a long time when I was first saved, I struggled with this verse, because it says the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I thought, well, how would God do that to a person? How would he bring Brian up in spirituality and mar him and start him all over? And it's not the power of the potter that called the vessel to be marred, but the weakness of the clay is what causes it to be marred. But aren't you glad that when you're on the wheel and you're spinning and God's trying to make you into something and it don't turn out quite the way that God wants it to be, that or you crack under pressure and you just sin when you know the Holy Spirit's telling you not to, and you go your own way and your own plan, aren't you glad, Rick, that God just don't scoop you off the wheel and throw you down in the dirt and say there's nothing can be done with you? You messed up and that's it. And God's able to give us this. But in the process of this rich clay that I want to stand with, because that's how that we end up. We're made of clay. And the potter will take this clay and he has to put it in a screen and sift it. He has to pull out all of the impurities, and as he begins to sift this clay, it falls into a prepared vessel of water for it to stand there for a while. And we know that in Ephesians 5:26, it tells us that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And also in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a problem that we have as individuals, sometimes in confessing our sin to God, but we have a bigger problem confessing our sins to our fellow man. Because I don't know if I can trust you.
Sure, exactly.
I don't know if I can trust you. But I tell you, if I never do trust them, I never will trust them. Can I say that? That's good all by itself. If I never do trust Carly, I never will trust Carly. You're going to have to give of yourself in order for you to move on in God and in this process that God has. But the amazing thing to me was the first thing, after it comes out of the water, we can see the potter pulls it up out of the water because it settles to the bottom. Clay is heavier than water. And it begins to come into the clay which we see. Most of us don't realize that it just starts out as some dry powder form. And as God begins to put it on the wheel and makes it something, when the clay goes down, God has a lump there and he starts to draw that clay up to make it in to the height and the stature that the potter desires. In this process, I'm sure that there's things that happens to that clay. I'm sure that clay don't have the most fun time it can as it's being drawn up, taken from what it used to be, made into something that it really don't want to be. Taken from where it was and put in another place that is strange to it. After the potter gets the vessel made on the wheel, it goes into a drying time. Because it says if it don't have that drying time, it can never be decorated. It can never have the handles put on it. And it can't be used for what it's needed. Now there's times in your spiritual walk, you're going to go through some dry times, and that is so that you can begin to learn and that you can pull in some things from God. Sometimes we accelerate so fast and we want so much because we are in a very measure-driven society to measure our success. Whether it be with our vehicles, our income, our homes, our titles, we have to measure us to somebody else. And when we do that, we become foolish. Because like I told him in Sunday school, I cannot be Brian Rock. No matter how hard I try, I can start to dress like Brian. I can get some hair transplants and have hair like Brian. I can dye black like Brian. I can get a job like Brian. I can drive everyone. But you know this little fellow right here, he's going to know the difference. I cannot be him. So I'm telling you to be the best you can, because God has a lot of us on the wheel this morning and we're being turned. And we've come out and we're sitting in our dry time, and I believe that we want that direction. And before we can ever have the things added to us and we can have, start to have the Word of God explode in our lives and bring us what we need and bring us our desired results, we have to be patient in the dry time until we can have the things added to us that we desire. Now this brings me to where a lot of folks in Unity are. I believe y'all have had a dry time. Your drying time, you know you come to a level. There's folks sitting in here that you've come to a level, but thanks be to God, you have a little bit different expectations. You're ready to take another step in spirituality and to find out what this is that everybody's excited about. To find out what this is that you can have. To find out where this is that you're going. Right? Now, I almost come up out of my seat last Sunday when Scott said, there's a question in your Sunday school that said, how do you become more spiritual? Is that how they put it?
Right.
And I almost come unglued. Now, I don't want y'all to let this, you know, disturb you, but I got some stuff I'm gonna give out. Is that all right? That won't disturb and take away from the message, will it? See, it's been a long time since the Lord let me do this. And I like it when he does. So as unity desires, and I don't think, brother, it was just those in your classroom. I think there's a lot of people want to know about their spiritual growth and how can I grow more spiritually. First thing you got to do, the very first thing, and I believe you got this part. I really do. I wouldn't tell you something just to pat you on the back and make you feel good. You can have that, brother. I believe that the people who sit in this church read the Word. If you're not, you should. That's going to be your first step in spiritual growth. Now, does that mean I need to take this and memorize it? And when I memorize enough verse, then I'm spiritual. How many knows that we can know the whole thing with no relationship of Jesus, no relationship of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be as dry as you can be and helping nobody? The second thing, and probably one of the things that you also have, or you wouldn't have asked the question, is desire. Now, if you want me to use a verse and say, oh, well, right away then, if you want to be more spiritual, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, brethren, desire spiritual gifts. And if you get the spiritual gifts, that makes you more spiritual. Wrong answer. I cannot stand here and tell you, for you to be more spiritual, Eric, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues and have discernment, all the other gifts that's in there. I cannot tell you that. I can tell you that the Scripture does tell you to desire spiritual gifts. The first one that the church, now this church needs, is discernment more than anything. Amen. Come on, those of you that's been in the way. We need discernment. And not so much so that I can look at Denzel and see whether he's a devil or not, and look at Andrew and see whether she's a devil or not, or see whether I have a goosey-goosey feeling when I walk in a place. That's not what discernment is. You need, the first thing you need to cry out to God for is discernment to hear His voice. I will tell you, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You ask God, let me hear from you and know that it is God. How do I know for sure that it is God? God will not lead you in unrighteousness. God will not lead you down a road that is full of depression and anger and frustration and misjudgment. You will know it's God the same way that you know that it's me when I call you on the phone. Well, I've talked to you on the phone. Who haven't I called on the phone? Well, Dean, I've never talked to you on the telephone. First time I call, are you going to recognize my voice? Chances are, probably not. But if I call you four or five times, then you're going to know who I am when I start to talk. You recognize that. You've got to have some time. Listen, you've got to have some time to speak with God. Our problem is we are so fast-paced driven, we think when we have a time with God, all right, God, pour it in me. All of the whole book of Revelation, so I know everything. Give me, I just read two chapters. I want the whole spiritual understanding of the whole thing. Look, I'm telling you, to grow spiritually, we can do everything we can to this little feller and put drugs and put vitamins and put hormones in him, and we can make him grow a little bit, but that's going to be false growth, and when he gets bigger, it's going to be a lot of problems. We cannot make him grow. You cannot make you grow. You have to listen here. Hear me on this. You have to let yourself grow. Problem is, we get bored with it and we don't want to do it no more. Right. Because I don't see nothing right away. Right. How many times, Denzel Weddington, if you got bored with your garden and you dropped seeds in the ground, Willa Dean, you went out there and said, it's been 2 days, ain't nothing up, plow her up. You'll never yield nothing. You must be patient in the Lord. And in patience, you will possess your vessel. It's in your patience. Now, as we start to get to that point, this comes the part for us sitting in here. And I believe that there's folks that tries to do it, but it's hard, especially the longer you've been in church. Now, are you ready for the next thing? How many of us can look at it and we can see we're spinning on a wheel, right? We're clay, just spinning on a wheel. The next thing that we have to do is we have to realize one thing. We have to allow, now hear me, we have to allow ourselves to step out of our religious box.
Right.
That is a lot of times the hardest thing for us to possibly do, is to let those things come into our ears, come into our learning, come into our teaching, allowing them to change our thinking. Now, everybody thought that they were in charge at one time, and everybody wanted to be in charge. And what did Moses do? He said, bring your rods, and we'll put them before the Lord, and we'll let the Lord decide, right? Now, we got some folks out there that there ain't no gifts of the Spirit, and that's the way it is. That's their rod. They'll drive it up in the ground and stick it right there. Some of them will say, well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, because you're not part of our clan. Drive the rod there. You don't believe in just Jesus only, and you believe in that Trinity, there's the rod. You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing in the church. You don't have an opinion. You don't have a thought. You don't count because you're a woman. And there's their rod growing up right there. But out of all of them rods and all of those things, when the priesthood brought the rod before God, it was the rod that budded, was the one that led the people. You are a rod that God is designed to allow fruit to come out of, to bloom, to blossom, and to produce fruit. We have to step out of our box. Listen, how did the Pharisees and most of Israel miss Jesus? Because he didn't come the way they thought he should. The biggest block in people growing spiritually is because it's not happening the way I've been taught. How many knows that God does some things that is beyond our ability to figure it out? That happens. If you are willing to learn and you will step out, hear me, and when you start to read, pray, God, let me find me in the Scripture. Show me. I want to grow. I want to be that vessel. I want to be what you want me to be. I had been thinking about this for weeks, and I thought, boy, I'll just explode. But the Lord wants to go slow enough that He makes sure that those that are wanting to grow spiritually will and can understand this. And that's what the Lord wants us to see. Think outside of the box. You might have been told, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do this. That's not there. We got to do it this way. We got to do it that way. That's the way it is. Can I tell you, why would God tell you, Carly Brooks, to desire something that you can't ever have? Why would He tell you, Rick, that you can be filled up with the glory of God and somebody else come along and say, no, you can't. That's all dead. I don't know about you all, but I like it when I get excited in the Lord. I like to feel that thing shoot up through my spine and down my belly and raise up the hair on the back of my neck and feel the fire of the Lord burning inside of me to where I can't even get the word. I like that. You can tell me it's dead, and maybe you put a gallon of water on your fire and it all sizzled and it ain't nothing but a pile of ashes. But there is something that God has. He will set His people on fire. He set His ministers. That's what He said. Every one of you all are a minister to somebody in some way. And He will set you afire, but you got to stoke that thing every now and then. You got to put stuff on it. You got to keep the desire. Then comes the second hardest, probably the second hardest thing besides getting out of the box is discerning. And when you discern, then discipline. You must discipline yourself. Now, am I saying, Rick, that you need to sit down and you need to sit down, Rick, and you need to do this. Two chapters a day, and I'm discerning. And I'm disciplined. I got two chapters a day the rest of my life, and I'm disciplined. No. How many of you would be with the person that you're beside if you had to be with them a certain amount of day, every single day, and you had to make something happen? Now, I won't get nobody in trouble, but I'll use Cheryl. Isn't there times when we just like to just sit out on the porch and we really don't say nothing? And there's times when we sit out on a porch, I want to say something. There's times when we sit out on a porch and she wants to say something. And there's times when we sit out on a porch and she wants me to say something. And it all makes a relationship. But if I go home and I planned every single day this week, you're going to tell me something. You're going to give me a big revelation every time we go outside. When it gets time to go out the back door, she'll say, oh. When I tell you to be disciplined, look, every single one of you need a place in your house that is your prayer place. That is your meeting place. You can make that anywhere. Someplace beside your bedside before 15 minutes before you go to bed. Well, God, you know how I feel. I'm tired. I'll see you in the morning. I'm going to pray right before I go to bed. When you start to discipline yourself to elevate God in that relationship. Now, when I elevated our friendship above everybody else's, she fell in love with me. And when Brian did that, Andrea did. When you elevate the importance of that person, they begin to love it and want to spend time with you. But if you totally ignore somebody every time that they're in your presence, they're not going to come around. So you make a time of importance with God. Yes, you can take the word in there and say, God, teach me and show me. I just told you that. But there's also times when you can come and say, God, I just want to worship. I'm going to tell you something. It's probably uncomfortable for some of you. Some of you got music talent. It probably wouldn't be for you. For me and Brian, it's a challenge. Go in. How many people here has went before God with a psalm? Not out of the book, a psalm out of your heart. When you're at home by yourself, nobody around, just go to God with a psalm. Well, I don't know how to make it rhyme. Don't make it rhyme. Do the Psalms rhyme? Absolutely not. Sing an expression of your love to God. You will grow more spiritual in that. Why? Because the delights of your heart will elevate you. You will be more open and more response. You know, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life, and I don't know that I've ever shared this publicly before. I've shared it with a few people. But the message just seems fitting to have it today. I had kind of a rough time, and I was praying, and I said, God, I just want you. And in the old Lowe's, if any of y'all have been there, you know how we had an outdoor lumber yard and there's train tracks. I used to go back there by train tracks and I'd pray and such. And I was back there praying and I just said, God, I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to sing to you. Stupid little song. I just made it up and sung it. And I started, and I know it's maybe hard for a lot of people to swallow, but my God works miracles. He does stuff that I can't explain. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I was walking across the parking lot. Trucks being loaded, lumber being loaded, forklifts driving around, and it just stopped. Not the motion. There was no sound. And the Lord said, I'm proud. I'm like, and then the noise started. I'm like, no, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. But we have to learn to hear. Does that mean it'll happen that way for Rick? No. Rick and Vicky's relationship's not like mine and Cheryl's. Mine and Rick's relationship is not like mine and Cheryl's. Mine and Brian's relationship will not be like mine and Rick's. Why? Because we're different. But we have to allow God to work with us in the capacity and the speed that He knows deep down that we can handle, right? So when we want to grow spiritually, we have to allow God to perform in us the things that He desires to perform in us. We have to allow God to do in us what we need to do. In that, when God gets to doing that, we can rest and relax knowing that God has spoken to us. If it's no more than two words, then in our spiritual growth, we can take that. There's times when Cheryl don't have a whole lot to say to me, but she can come up and put her arms around me and she says, I love you. That's worth a whole paragraph. So in our desire to grow more spiritually, let's get out of our box and start to allow God to speak to us the things we see around us, the things we hear happening around us, and allow it to happen. If you have a gift that has been lying in you and you haven't been using it, I'm telling you, start using it. Can I be more blunt? Make you follow? Every single one of you sitting in there has one gift that you've allowed to lie dead in you. And that's the very one we've been talking about, is discernment. If you never heard God calling, how would you ever come to hear and get saved? If you never heard God calling, how would you know if you ever done something wrong or offensive? But sometimes people in big ministries make it sound like, sissy, that you got to be real still and God's going to say, "Hello, Tiffany. I want to talk to you." It don't happen that way. When he talks to me like that, Joan, I'm in trouble. I like him to just talk. When he got to get my attention, I'm scared. So in this, if we realize that there's nobody who can thumbprint how God is going to work with you. Nobody can tell you, "Brian, God don't work that way." He talks to people in the Scripture. He does. That's how he... What was the main thing when they all talked about it? What was the main thing that Jesus said? "My sheep know my voice." If I never said nothing, how would you know my voice? Now, how many of you perceive yourself to be God's sheep? So you will know His voice. Because He said, "I am not a stranger." Don't cloud your mind with expectations. Don't cloud your mind with labels and all of that stuff. Allow yourself to hear what God would say to you. Allow yourself to be what God would give you. Allow yourself to grow in the power of the Lord and in His majesty and helping. Helping your fellow man. You must be a servant to your fellow man with nothing to gain before you will ever be a servant and with a lot of gain. Does that make sense? We serve our workplaces because we get gain. Eric, if they said, "We're not paying you no more, but we still want you to come to work," would you show up?
No.
Would anybody in here? If we will serve them for that gain, earthly gain, monetary, something we can hold on to, something we can hang on to, something we can tangibly get a hold of. If we can do that, then why? Why wouldn't we do it for our fellow man for our eternal glory? For something that we don't even know what we're going to get. For something, Brother Ike, that we can't even begin to imagine. So sometimes what should be accepted in faith starts to fade. Now hear me. Because it has no tangible presence. Does that make sense? So we have to see how I can give to this one or how I can give to that one because they can give back to me. We don't want to get in. You will grow spiritually by giving to others because here, listen, now, this is where it might get just a little bit confusing. And trust me on this, it's the truth. And if you don't mind, Jonah, I may use exactly what you told me this morning. Yeah, is that all right? When you start to serve other people, the Holy Spirit is going to do one thing. When I sit down here to start to serve you and I bring you cookies or something, on the way there, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is going to tell me if you're in need. I was all dressed up and ready to go. Leave church is what I'm talking about. I got my stuff and I was together and I was ready to go Wednesday. And I got about right here. And I really felt that the Lord said, "Turn around." I turned around and looked. And Joan was sitting there just minding her own business. Wasn't doing a thing. And I come up right behind her and I said, "I love you, sis." You know what she told me this morning? "Thanks for that hug, Wednesday. I really, really needed that." But how many of us, when we do, and look, it's as simple as phone calls. You guys don't know what that done when y'all called and sung. You might have thought that it was just having fun, but you was following. Why did you call me? You just did it. That's the way God speaks to us. Too many times, the Lord might say, call Amy. I'll do it later. And what happens? How many of you have thought to call somebody and you never do? The seed is dropped. The fowls of the air will pluck it out before it has time to take root. Allow ourselves to hear from God and then act upon what God has given us. Because it's in that strength that we will begin to learn more and more. That's for both of you. More and more. More and more. The more I talk, the more you're going to learn what my voice is. Now look at the power. My sheep know my voice, and as strangers, they will not what? Isn't that great all by itself? Yeah. Now, we know how to grow spiritually. We've been through our dry time. God's putting the decorations on us, but there's one thing that just blew me away, folks, that they said happens. After the dry time, before it goes into the fire, the potter, the very last thing that the potter does to his vessel is adjust the spout. He adjusts the mouth of the vessel. Before it can ever start to go in, before it can be a finished product. James chapter 3, turn there, I'll wait for you. James chapter 3, verse number 9, talking about the tongue, it says, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So, how many of you in here want to bless God? Right?
Absolutely.
Then we can't curse our fellow man. It ought not to be. It's going to be a bit of a struggle sometimes. Because how many of you know, I just got a good point to add, sis. I mean, this is really good. And you've heard me say it a bunch of times. Well, it's the truth. Does that justify it? How many of us in this room want the truth told about us and those outside the room? How many of us want the truth told about us? We don't want that. So that don't justify it. As God adjusts that spout, then He puts it into the fire, and 1 Peter 4, I think. Just flip over a little bit. I usually have all my scriptures prepared, but I walked out of the house and left the whole message at home. Well, I didn't leave the whole message at home, or we wouldn't be preaching, but you know what I mean. 1 Peter 4, verse number 12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So don't think it's a big surprise. Now we know, I think it's in the first part of Peter chapter 1 is where the scripture was. Chapter 1 verse number 7. Now I know they don't, none of us like trials, right? I don't, none of us like the things that we have to go through. But in this, we have to realize that in verse 7 it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. That means that God considers your faith more precious than gold. Now I know we have a high believing and a high adoration, I guess you would say, a very high value put on gold. And I think there's a little tag on it, if I'm right, that's got carats. Is that what it is? And tells you how many carats is in it. Just like in, put it easy, just like a bunch of carats in the produce section. More carats that's in it. Is that the more it's worth? So we'll look at that, and something that's got like one carat, and they take it, and if I'm right, Denzel probably knows, and they scratch it on that little thing and look at it and say, you ever have something that you thought was real good and then somebody look at it and say, ain't worth nothing? Well, your faith is more precious. What's the highest gold, somebody?
24.
Okay, let's go one higher. What is that that Fort Knox has, pure?
That's 24.
Is that it? That's pure? Oh, I thought it still had something in it. Your faith is more precious than that. Them little chunks, bricks, that they got in Fort Knox, surrounded with people that are with guns, that will shoot somebody who tries to steal it. Your faith, the trial of your faith, is more precious than that to God. Why would He put such a value on you being put in the fire? Why would He put such? Because He's going to be able to learn. When we start to go through a trial, what do we do when trouble comes? We start there. Say it loud. So He knows when I put Brian in this situation that he's going to get closer to me. So therefore, I will put him in that situation. This is precious to God in that verse number 7. It might be found unto... Now, when we get through it, what happens? It tells us right there. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. When you get through it and you make it through it and everything is good and great and fantastic, then what do? We praise God that we're able to overcome. Right? Isn't that what we want to do? Don't we want to overcome? Don't we want to praise God in it? Now, I found out something that some of them, when they come out of the fire, they break. Some of them have a crack in them. Majority of them, more than break, majority of them, when they come out of the... Oh, this is just amazing. When they come out of the fire, they just have a crack in them. Now, just your ordinary potter cannot do this. But a master potter can take and make up something that they call slip, put it back in the crack, and put it back in the oven and start to mend it so that it can still be a useful vessel even though it had a crack in it. Now, let me read you something out of Acts. And the multitude rose up and together against them, talking about Paul and Silas, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beat. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. I'd say that's a trial, wouldn't you? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. When you go through a trial, and you're going through tribulation, and you're going through problems, and you start to sing praises to God, can I tell you the other prisoners around you, and the other people who are bound up and are having a problem, that they're going to hear you praise your God, and when they hear you bless God, the foundations of their prison will shake, and the bars will fly open, and they'll look at you and say, there is hope in me, in God. There is a place for me in God. What's that got to do with a vessel in the oven with a crack and slip being put on it and Paul and Silas singing in prison? Can I tell you what I read? Sis, the guy said when the vessel's in the oven,
And the slip starts to harden because the other vessel's already hardened. The oxygen and the air and the moisture in the slip causes the vessel to sing. And when it quits singing, the firing is done and it's ready to be used. Can I tell you, when you're broken, can I tell you, when it seems there's no way out, can I tell you, when you've hit, sis, the bottom of your bottom, when you go through the thing that you can't go through, I had to use Brian's back just to be proper, that big old potter takes his slip and he starts doing like this. Now, Cheryl can tell you, Randy was a master at this. Randy could do this and the whole world just go away. And the love of the potter fixing the crack. Notice he didn't just jerk it up out of the fire. It still went through the fire. But because that crack was fixed in the middle of the fire, the vessel began to sing. Now I know clay can't talk. But I believe if that vessel could sing, that vessel just might be in that oven saying, "Praise God, I was cracked and broken, I was good for nothing, but now I'm going to come out looking better than I ever did. There's still hope in me even though all of this has happened. Even though there's no way that I can figure out, I did everything I was supposed to do. I sat on the wheel, I was spun, I didn't say nothing. I let him draw me up, I let him fix my spout, I let him put a handle on me. Why did I crack? I shouldn't have never cracked. I should have had a time of glory and come out with everybody else. But thanks be to God, He's a master potter who'll take the slip. He'll fix the crack and He'll bring you out and make you a vessel that can be used for honor and set upon a shelf and carried and done the things with that the Master designed you to do. Just because you've got a little crack in you, it don't mean it's over. It simply means that you're going to have to be fired a little bit more and allow the potter to fix you. Don't storm off cracked and broken. Then I found out something else. Do you know what the not so good potters do with their vessels that are cracked and broken? They take them to a place that was bought called, there was a field in Jerusalem called the Potter's Field. It got that name because they just threw their vessels out there. They were broken. They were good for nothing. For a long time. I don't even know if I'll be able to get rest either way. I feel the Holy Ghost just moving, Denzel. All of these potters which don't know how to fix the broken vessels of God just toss them out in this field. Along came a long suntan Nazarene who had nothing, who was something, who was nobody but was everything to the world. With the very money that was bought to purchase him, purchased that potter's field. Now, I find out another thing. Don't the master, when he can't find his clay, Brian, you know what a master potter will do? He'll walk out into the potter's field, he'll gather up the broken vessel, and he can take it into his little house, and he can begin to take it apart, shake it down, put it in the water of the Word, and through the whole process, God, who is rich in mercy, shall raise up a remnant of His people. It may seem that it's too long. It's been too hard. I don't know if it will ever change. And I'll tell you this. Yes, think that. Yes, but don't listen. Don't believe that it's over for you. Don't believe that your God has forsaken you. He simply wants to put a little slip on you.
That's right.
He simply wants to hear you sing.
That's right.
Your singing may be "Amazing Grace." Your singing may be "Woo! Thank you, Jesus." He don't want my song from your lips. He wants your song from your lips. He wants you. He wants you. When broken vessels sing, folks can hear it. But the changes and the transformation. I believe that that little pot is just sitting in that oven, looking at its brokenness and saying, you know, this really looks bad. I don't know if what he did is going to work for me or not. But then all of a sudden, it starts to go. And it looks down and goes, something's changing. I don't look so bad no more. And all I done was sit here and let what the Master do work in me. I'm done singing. Take me up out of this oven. I'm ready to be filled with water if that's what I need to be. And some people, you're going to carry the water of God. And some people, you're going to carry the bread of God. But one way or another, you're going to work for God because the Master does not make junk. You're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through the flame. And if you crack under pressure, He don't scoop you up and pitch you out. And if somebody in this world does pitch you out, let me tell you something. That's Jesus' field they got to throw you in. And He don't do nothing but scoop you right back up. And He says, it may not be... Oh, He won't let me stop, Rick. It may not be good to no other man. It may not be good. Nobody can see anything out of these broken pieces. Thank you. I'll take that one too. We got another one coming after this. I will put this back in its original form and I'll make something good out of it. Now, what the Holy Spirit just spoke to me is this. When archaeologists start to dig to find out about civilization, what's the one thing that they always find that tells them the whole story? Broken. It stands through the thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That little shard. No good to nobody. Just leave it there. And somebody else who is looking for something takes a little brush and dusts it off and rejoices over what you have. Blessed be. Look, go down to the potter's house. See the work that He has wrought on the wheel. Boy, it's hot in here. No, folks. When you sing praises, it ignites the heart of God. I don't know. I need to give these away. Who wants some sermon notebooks? Raise your hand. Who wants a gospel CD? First hand up and get it. There you go. Can we get just some music? I feel a stirring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've suffered a crack. I mean, God covered a lot of things in this morning message, and it's been lengthy. I don't know if you just want to grow spiritually. But I can tell you I feel the presence of the Lord here. If you need to pray, come and pray. Come and pray. The altar is open. This is where you'll meet God.